This is it. Five huge games of Premier League football start on Saturday afternoon when Luton Town host Brentford at Kenilworth Road. Alongside me to preview the first massive, massive game of football is the Lutonian journalist James Cunliffe. Here we go, Jimbo.
Cup finals don't get more cup final than this, do they?
They do not. We will preview it all in full after this intro.
Can you believe it?
Hello everyone, welcome along to another episode of the Luton Town Supporters Trust podcast. As I said before the intro, I've got the Lutonian journalist James Cunliffe with me and we are previewing Luton versus Brentford, Kenilworth Road, Saturday, 3 o'clock. If you've not got a ticket yet, you're going to be out of luck. This one sold out a long time ago, as all of these last five are going to do. No TV coverage, so it'll be the radio coverage and social media feeds that you need to keep up to date on everything that happens on what is going to be a nervy, dramatic, exciting, and all of the other emotions of a roller coaster that you can think of. And that's exactly it, isn't it, James? It's the running.
Yeah, it's now or never. This is what we wanted it to be. And this is what we've got. We've got five games to get as many points as possible. And hopefully the prize at the end of it is another season in the Premier League.
Absolutely, yeah. Let's hope that that is the case. I mean, we've pretty much parked last Saturday against Man City. I don't want to call it a pre-season for this five-game season, but that is, in essence, exactly what it was. We've covered all of the build-up to this now, and this is now five games. I mean, we haven't left anything out there anyway, but, you know, if you can give 101%, you know, you give it in this. That includes all of us. That is on the pitch, which is a guarantee. And those of us off the pitch now, these atmospheres have to be as intimidating and as raucous as they've ever been. And between us as a collective, we can get the job done here. It's going to take everyone.
Yeah, it's going to take that atmosphere that was at the last home game was fantastic, I thought. And it's going to have to be that is the baseline. If you can add any more on top of that, fantastic. But that atmosphere has got to be the baseline. And that day gave me hope that it will be, because now it's really everything's on the line. And the good thing is that, well, touch wood, there were no injuries after that Man City game. And I wasn't, you know, I parked it pretty quickly after the final whistle, although I did still and am still cursing you, Gvardiol. Damn you. You see the previous podcast for the context on that one. But this is a massive game. It's simply huge because Brentford are down there. Unfortunately, they won at the weekend, didn't they? So they've sort of made their life a little bit easier, which may take the pressure off, but they're not out of it, and Luton can drag them back in with this game. And if they get a win, so that's exactly what they've got to do.
Yep. Yeah, that's pretty much it. We gave a good account of ourselves in the stands against Bournemouth. And if we can just ramp it up a little notch, that would be absolutely fantastic. In many ways, that Man City game was a good game. And what I mean by that is we didn't put no tackles in. They didn't put no tackles in. Do you know what I mean? It was like it was an inconvenience for us, and it was a game that they didn't need. Sorry, it was an irrelevance for us and an inconvenience for them. They're all focused on Wednesday night against Real Madrid. We're all focused on these five games. I don't think there was a single slide tackle in the game. I know they're not a team that relies on slide tackling anyway because they're so organised and everything. But, you know, even like a Luke Berry who charged around like a bull in a china shop, even he was, you know, upright and for most of the game. There was never going to be any contact injuries. Any injuries that were going to come along were going to be muscular. Thankfully, it was a warm enough day. So in terms of that, of course, I'm not saying that it was good because we lost 5-1, but in terms of that, if we could have one game going into these big five games, that we just had to fulfill. So it's literally all we've done, really, isn't it? We just fulfilled the fixture. That was it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was an irrelevance, really. I didn't want to have to go up there. We all knew what the result would be, which was hammered home when there was news that they were possibly having no centre-backs going up there. Thankfully, Reece Burt played and he got through that game. So hopefully he's okay. And hopefully there's better news on Mengi. We know his knee's in a bit of bother, and that was the case in Bournemouth when he went down twice. So hopefully that's extra bit of rest gets him back. The good news, really, out of that game was from the post-match when Rob said that Sambi, Lokonga and Gabriel Osho may be back for that game. And if they are, then and Mengi comes back as well, then at least you've got three very good centre-backs, square pegs in square holes, and possibly the man in the midfield that we've all been waiting to see for such a long time, because he was so influential when he was in the team. And if he does come back, then, you know, whatever role he plays in for however long, he compliments Ross Barkley so much and gives him more time to think about going forward, because Lokonga's there. It'll be great to see him back. The relief of seeing anyone come back at this stage is going to be huge, isn't it? Because we've been battling for so long on such a threadbare squad. To see that any of those come back, and particularly Osho, you know, he's fantastic in the run-in last season. If he can put in, you know, half of that performance that in this one, then it's going to be a lot. The clouds are going to be lifted from that particular scenario a little bit, isn't it? And if any more can come back, great.
Yep, we'll come on to how the town may or may not line up shortly, as we always do. Just because we can win this game, we don't need to lull ourselves into thinking we will win this game, right? This is much the same way as Bournemouth. We could beat Bournemouth, but we weren't just going to turn up and beat Bournemouth. We have to outplay them. We have to be Luton like we were against Bournemouth. This is not a turn up and beat Brentford scenario. We fell into that trap against Sheffield United earlier on in the season. And if we fall into that trap again, we'll get turned over. This is still a side that got some pretty big dangers up front. Thankfully, they're a side that are every bit as weak at the back in terms of injuries as what we are. So, yeah, but we have to be right on it, don't we? That none of this, or we can win this game. We still have to think that we're heavy underdogs in this game, which, funnily enough, with bookmakers, we are. And get the performance on and off the pitch. It's not a turn up and beat Brentford job, this.
Well, I think we've had plenty of games against Brentford in the recent years to know that that's not going to be the case. They are very dangerous up front, and I didn't like the fact that Mbeumo came back this weekend, just gone when he'd been out for a while. And they didn't play Tony. I don't know whether he's got an injury or whether they were just resting him.
He was on the bench, wasn't he? And
I mean, they didn't get on though, did he? So it could be them resting him and them thinking that this is a massive game as well. They will know that it is, because, you know, if they can beat Luton from their perspective, safe, yeah, they get safe.
Yeah.
And that is going to be a huge relief for them with four games to go after that. Then, so there's a lot on it for them as well. So it's not like they're going to be what we hope Fulham will be at the end, the last day of the season, which is on the beach. I mean, they probably won't be, but this is what we hope for, isn't it? But, you know, for Brentford, there's lots on it. For Luton, it's everything. They need to get a result. They need to pick up wins. You reckon three? Could be as much as four. It's a massive ask, isn't it, for the amount of games that we've won this season, and how tough it's been against everyone. And even if you highlight that game against Sheffield United, a game we really should have won and everyone was expecting to, and in the end came away and didn't. And that's how hard it is in the Premier League. So everybody's got to be on it. But that performance against Man City, if you take away the scoreline, and if you watch the game, you saw what happened and how it played out and how stubborn they were in defence. If you can take those elements from that game, get to Kenilworth Road. You've obviously scored a goal as well against the world champions, could have scored another one at the bar, could have scored a third even. Then, you know, there's loads of positives there to take from it. And it's, yeah, it's a very winnable game. But, you know, you've got to do it. You've got to go in there, walk the walk.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, we've shown for the last 2 months that we've got the level to win these games of football, but we've got to show that level in these games and then we will be fine. Let's touch a little bit more on Ivan Toney then, James, because you mentioned him there. He actually didn't play the previous game either at Aston Villa. He came off the bench for the last 10 minutes. So that's now two games that he's been on their bench. So I wonder if they know that they're selling him and they're going in a different direction, because they are selling him, aren't they? He basically came out with a neon light and said, woo, I'm up for sale, come and get me. But even then, you have to go back 8 games since he scored for Brentford. Of course, he scored for England in that time, didn't he? He scored that penalty against Belgium. But he hasn't scored for Brentford in his last 8 appearances. When he came back from his gambling ban, I mean, you couldn't move on Sky Sports without them bigging him up. I mean, they were so fast stuck up him, I'm surprised it didn't come out of his throat, to be honest. But he has seriously gone quiet since then, which is not a good thing, because generally when these strikers have quiet spells, we turn them into sort of peak Bobby Charlton. And
this was a reference for the kids.
That is a reference for the kids. Yeah. Well, I was thinking Harry Kane, but I mean, you know, last time Luton fans saw him play against us, he didn't look very good either. So I didn't want to use that reference. But he's a clear if he plays. And let's be honest, I think we're all hopeful that he doesn't, because he is better than the rest of them.
Yeah.
If he plays, he is clearly a threat that needs to be sorted, but I kind of get the impression he's also the kind of striker that Ted Mengi will rub his hands together and say, come on then, let's have some.
Yeah. I mean, he's got to play as well for starters. But
he will play.
You reckon?
Absolutely.
Okay, well, I trust you.
Listen, if he's going down shot dead twice against Bournemouth and they're not getting him off, you ain't got a prayer of stopping him playing in this game, unless that knee's fallen off in the intervening time, and I don't think it has. Ted Mengi, I would be amazed if I don't see Ted Mengi's name on that team sheet on Saturday.
Yeah, well, I hope so. I really do. But even, you know, even if he doesn't and Rhys Burke plays, he had Solanke in his pocket.
Haaland, really.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't have the impact that he did in the cup game, that's for sure. I mean, he had that one chance in the first couple of seconds when he ran through, but not so much after that. Which is a testament to how well Luton defended, really, because he ran absolute riot in Kenilworth Road and he scored 5, wasn't even the best player on the park. It was ridiculous. So, there's plenty of positives there that can be taken. I think I'd probably say that there's no disrespect to Toney and probably all the respect to Haaland. Solanke and Toney are probably closer together than Haaland.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. But if we don't see Toney in this game, or maybe if we do, it means that things are going well. If he doesn't start, things are going to be going well for Luton if we see him. If he didn't come off the bench at all against Sheffield United on Saturday when they won 2-0. If he doesn't start, looks like Neil Mopay would start for them. He's been the one who's been the centre forward in that time. I mean, he does more talking than he does goal scoring, this boy, doesn't he? He's wound up an awful lot of people. He had that spat with Martinez in that stupid game that they had against Aston Villa, which turned out into sort of a Benny Hill sketch at the end of it, didn't it? Yeah, and I noticed he talks a lot on social media as well. I think he wound up James Maddison as well with his dart celebration and all this, that and the other. I mean, keep talking and do less scoring and we're happy.
Yeah, but he scored last time, didn't
he? He did score down there.
That's the worry. But I think we probably need to be a bit far removed from these sort of superstitions that we've probably had nearly every other season, which is, oh, if a striker hasn't scored, he's bound to score against Luton. You know, if a striker has been scoring, he's been bound to score against Luton. You sort of look at Hoyland and Haaland and all the other strikers that begin with H, probably they've all bloody scored. So yeah, it would be nice if one of them didn't for once. Maybe it's time for a clean sheet. Imagine that'd be some story if that can happen after the troubles with defenders and keeping them fit this season, or certainly in 2024 anyway.
Yep, the other threat, you've mentioned him, Mbeumo. He did play in the reverse fixture before he got injured. Can't remember if he got injured in that game or it was subsequent to that, but we've played him loads of times. He was with them in the championship, wasn't he, when on that fateful afternoon at Griffin Park. And, you know, we've come up against him loads. He'll be on their right-hand side, cutting inside, as he always does. So it'll be Alfie's job to sort of look after him, and whoever plays left centre-back, maybe that'll be Osho. Either way, we've got to keep him quiet, really.
Yeah, I do like him, actually. He's a very dangerous player, unfortunately, for us. I think he does have a lot of effectiveness when he does cut in like that. But, you know, if it is Osho that comes in, I think that he's got the pace and the strength to keep with him. It's just if he is back, whether he plays a part and how much, because he hasn't played for such a long time. But, you know, but then really we talked a couple of podcasts ago about how Rob was saying it may be that if players are coming back and they're not 100% fit, they're just going to have to play them for as long as they can, without damaging them, hopefully, any further. And maybe that's a start and he comes off later with maybe the job done. That would be my preference, because Luton finished games strongly a lot of the time anyway. So if you can get 60 minutes out of him and keep them out of Luton's goal, then that's more the route that I'd go down. But I mean, there's a lot of moving parts in this defensive situation, isn't there? And, you know, for starters, I just want to see him back, whatever role he gets to play.
Yeah, I mean, I think a defender is more likely to play from the start than a Sambi Lokonga. It's not saying I don't want Sambi Lokonga to start. Of course I want Sambi Lokonga to start. But we're crippled at the back, aren't we, with injuries. We're not in midfield. You know, if we have to go into games of football with Clicker and Ross in the centre of midfield with Sambi to come on, that's not the worst situation. But if we have to go into these games, and there's no disrespect whatsoever, with Hashi out of position at centre-half, that is, when you've got Osho who's on the bench, that wouldn't make no sense to me. The other thing with Osho, well, as bad as it sounds, a bruised bone on his knee. I'm guessing the problem there is the pain rather than the actual injury. So I think what Rob was alluding to is these boys will play tanked up on allowable painkillers and just go for it, because ultimately this might be their only shot at Premier League football. And I would imagine they'll put themselves through the ringer pain-wise to do that. So I would imagine that if Gabe's knee, the bone in it is still bruised, I would just imagine he'll just load up on painkillers and go until they wear off.
Yeah, I would imagine so. You only have to have listened to what Ted Mengi said after the Bournemouth game, having gone down twice and looked like he was going to actually come off, but he stayed on and he was a rock in that game. He was fantastic. So, yeah, I think he's come into a side and adopted, he's probably got this in his makeup anyway, but he's come into a side and adopted the attitude of everybody else in the squad. And Gabe was obviously a huge part of that and getting to the Premier League. So, yeah, I've no doubt that would be the case with him and every other player. If they can get on the pitch and do a job of sorts, then they will. I think players are always quite optimistic anyway about their chances and will want to come on. And sometimes the managers and the coaching staff have to hold them back a little bit, because they just want to play, wouldn't they? And they've got all sorts of health metrics and statistics to tell them when they're getting into the so-called red zone and stuff. And they'll use those to monitor what they're doing, I've no doubt.
Yeah. I think the red zone gets extended here. Gets shrunk here, doesn't it? We're not worrying about the red zone for the next 4 weeks. And of course, if everything goes to plan, then at the end of those 4 weeks, the majority of this squad are going to have the better part of 2 months off before they have to see each other again in pre-season. Not many of them, as we stand, are going to be going to the Euros. And of course, in Gabe's case, being qualified for Nigeria, he hasn't got an international tournament in the summer. So that would kind of be handy. So, I mean, I'm thinking that we're going to have the three at the back, Gabe, Ted and Reese, to start the game, with Hashi as a sort of backup to those. Obviously, Issa comes back. It's a no-brainer. He comes back in. Fred did nothing wrong. I thought Fred gave everything he could against Doku the other day. I wouldn't have thought Doku's had too many tougher challenges, or more pestier, if that's a word, challenges, because Fred just stuck to him, said, "You're not going past me, son." And actually, for about 10 minutes, they switched him to the other side, didn't they? And he had lots of joy there. And then they thought, oh, this is too easy. We'll switch him back again. I don't know what that was all about. But Issa comes in, doesn't he? He just comes in. He's been brilliant recently.
Absolutely. Yes, he is. A really big miss at the weekend, because not through injury for this time, it's because he couldn't play against his parent club, but he has been absolutely fantastic. I mean, you know, you can point to the Aston Villa goal and the one at Tottenham. I still do not know. He shanked in, but other than that, his defensive work has been fantastic. And going forward, he's offered a lot as well, particularly against Bournemouth. I thought he was absolutely fantastic in that game. Him and Tedden were wonderful, and Reece Burke as well. From a defensive perspective, so to have him back in that form would be great. I mean, if we get to the ground on Saturday and we see those four players all on the team sheet, I'll be buzzing, to be honest, because, you know, going into games knowing it's going to be threadbare and sort of open for the best, it only goes so far, doesn't it? I mean, we need the best possible options available for this game and the four after. So to have those on the team sheet will be quite delirious, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, even if these returning players are just on the bench, the first 11 that we've put out has been competitive in every game. Even at Man City on Saturday, they did 65 minutes and they were in the game. So then if you get to that 65 minutes and then you're bringing these boys on off the bench, then all of a sudden... You know, and this is absolutely no disrespect to Zach Nelson and Joe Johnson, who fully deserve their place in the squad. They're not in this first team squad just because they're the only ones that are still walking. They're in there because Rob really likes them. But if we're bringing on Sambi Lokonga, or we're bringing on Gabe Osho, or even, dare I say it, we're bringing on an Elijah Adebayo if he's ready to return, that looks so much healthier. The drop off from the first team to what we're bringing on is nowhere near as big, and that's generally when we've sort of succumbed late in games, and we haven't done that very often, but when we have at Liverpool, at Bournemouth on Saturday, it's because the drop off in our subs to our first team is as big as the gulf from the first team to the subs that the opposition have brought on, and it's just compounded the misery, really. So if we can just close that gap, it'll be a help. Whether they start the game or not, it'll just having them there to do 20 minutes when the others are tiring, and they're still going to tire, but just on the nervous energy as much as anything else, because we saw it against Bournemouth. We were very nervous in that first half. Just when they tire, if we're bringing on quality that's closer to what's being replaced, or in Sambi's case, he'll be better than whoever he's replacing, won't he? That will help.
When you said Adebayo on that little rundown there, got very excited. You reckon he's got a shot?
It strikes me as the kind of fella who will play if he can play. I mean, I saw the fella come on with an imaginary Zimmer frame at Huddersfield a few years ago. So if there's any life in his body that will let him play, he'll put himself up there.
Well, I'm very excited now if he's in the mix.
Not just over a week ago, he posted on social media, set of boots, can't wait to get these on. There is absolutely no way anyone would have let him tease that if he's not close. And also, he's not stupid enough to put himself in the situation where he'd get flack if he tweets that and then doesn't play any part for the remainder of the season for some point. He's posted that because he doesn't think he's far away. Now, obviously, every single training session is a kind of lottery, and you kind of keep your fingers crossed that everything's fine. We've had this couple of occasions. We thought players are coming back. They broke down in training again. But I've thought all along, and I've thought this for a long time, actually, since that international break, I've thought someone's told someone somewhere, you've got an extra 2 weeks in this international break to get yourself fit for this Brentford game. We'll play these four games without yous, but we need you for that Brentford game. And that's the impression I got talking to a few people at the training ground. At the open training session, I got the impression that they were given a target and they've done everything they can to be fit for the Brentford game.
that'll be magic if he can come back.
Literally.
Well, he's magic, isn't he? Yeah. He's magic, and you know. Yeah, that would be such a huge lift, wouldn't it? I mean, I think the atmosphere...
He would definitely come off the bench. There's no start. I don't see a world, even though Carlton Morris is absolutely shattered, I don't see a world where Eli comes straight into the side, purely because his was a hamstring issue. You wouldn't risk that. I think at some point between now and the end of the season, and I hope it's Saturday, he'll be fit to lace those new boots that he's got up. I'm certain of that. Or he'll offer to lace them up.
Just to see him on the team sheet would be amazing. And it would give such a lift. Like I say, I think the atmosphere is going to be quite good anyway. After what we saw against Bournemouth, and they weren't particularly in the mix anyway. It was just a game against a team that, you thought you might be able to get some points from. They were clear weeks and weeks ago. No threat for relegation there, but Brentford are. So if the atmosphere as a baseline can be as good as that Bournemouth game, and on top of that you add that all the players we've talked about there on the team sheet, huge lift. I think it'll be, you know, magnitudes of percentages better than if they're not there. I think that just stands to reason.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if he brings them all back at the same time, because we have got five games to go. So, you know, if you bring them back two by two, that works, doesn't it? You know, each one in its own separate entity. So two play the first game, two play the second game, for example. And then hopefully with minutes in those games, then they can all play the last three. I don't envisage five and six suddenly coming back. I don't see that. But I think, like you say, even if we just see one or two, the boost that that'll give us, and the fact that they'll have to respect who's on the bench, because they won't know exactly how fit they are, the opposition. They'll just see the name and think, oh, they've got them to bring on, have they? It'll be a big boost. I think in front of the defence, I think we'll be pretty similar to how we've been. I think we'll be Barkley, Clark. Probably won't be Berry, will it?
No, I wouldn't have thought so.
Kabore will probably come in for Berry. And then, of course, Chong, Townsend, Morris up front. I think that's pretty much where we'll go. Maybe Pelly for Berry, something like that. But the front six has been fine anyway, hasn't it, really? Of course, we'd love Sambi back. We'd love Eli back. And if we can get them back, fantastic. But I don't think we've ever really, apart from the fact that Morris does clearly need a break, but even then, he knows he's 4 weeks out from an extended break, so he'll give everything anyway. I don't think we've ever been worried about the sort of front area of the pitch, have we? It's just the decimation of the defence that's been the problem. So I'm fine if it is that six. It would be fantastic if we can have Chong playing in that behind Carlton role, because recently he's had to move over because of all the defensive injuries. If he hasn't started at left wing back, he's had to move there when we've had to make all of the changes. If he even started there on Saturday, it'd be lovely if we could have him back in his usual position, because I really think he's got an awful lot to play, an awful big role to play in these last five games. I really think he's got the quality in that left foot, both running with the ball and the creativity of passing and everything else. I really think he's a big player for us in these five games.
He has been for a couple of months now, really. You know, it's kind of by necessity, but he's taken the chance at last, when the debate was the opposite at the beginning of the season. We all wanted him to succeed because we saw what devastation he wrought when he pulled on a Birmingham shirt at Kenilworth Road. But, you know, he's been so influential in that role, and he's got game-changer potential. He really has, and he provides the link so well from the midfield to the attack, both in his pace, but he's tracking back in his positional sense as well. I've really been impressed with him. He's really stepped up, and, you know, wherever we watch our football next season, he's going to be a fantastic player for Luton Town.
He really is. Yeah, he has definitely come to the fore the longer this season's gone on, as one or two others have done as well, it has to be said. So I think we're pretty fine with whatever attacking combination, I say attacking combination, midfield and attacking combination, we've got, as long as we've got some players playing in, well, like you said earlier, square pegs in square holes. If we can put 11 square pegs in 11 square holes, that gives us an immediate leg up, doesn't it? And That would be fantastic. So how do we get at this Brentford side? Well, the first way you get at this Brentford side, as so many in this league, you get a Brentford side with set pieces. They have a goalkeeper who, I don't know where they get their goalkeepers from in this league, but they've got another one who flaps at just about anything that comes along. They're missing their two key defenders, aren't they? Ethan Pinnock, who we come across at Barnsley, didn't we? I don't know how he got to Brentford without us signing him, but he did. And Ben Mee, who's actually a really good defender at this level. I really, really like him. They're both missing. They've been missing Rico Henry at left wing back all season. They've signed the fella from Spurs, haven't they? Reguilón, I think that's how you pronounce it. He was on loan at Man United last season. However, they're also missing their right wing back as well. This is very much patched up Brentford defence. The only thing you would say is their depth of their defenders was probably stronger than what ours was, as it would be. It's what, their third season, fourth season in the Premier League, whatever it is. And they've played together a bit, but you still look at their back three and you think, cool, you can get at that. But you can definitely get at it from set pieces.
And that's surprising to me, because every time in recent memory we've played Brentford, I've always viewed them as quite a big side, particularly at the back. But yeah, that's what the statistics sort of bear out a little bit, doesn't it? And Luton are still up there as one of the, that's one of their biggest weapons is set pieces and particularly corners. So, that why change a habit of a lifetime really in that regard? But I think that that's a great weapon when you're away and maybe you're going to be not having as much of the ball. But I think that they will see a lot of the ball in this game, it being a home game, and the atmosphere will hopefully ramp that up and drive them forward to play, the front forward pressing football that we know they can, and that will sort of be enhanced by the personnel that we've got available, obviously. But, you know, they were even trying to do it against Man City, which is commendable. They haven't changed in that regard. So it's just the fact that we haven't had the players that have been able to come on and mix it up and change it when they've run themselves into the ground doing that. Hopefully now we're going to have a few more options.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's how our goal came from against Man City, wasn't it? We set the trap, let them pass it into Nunes. We knew his touch was at some point going to let him down. And Barkley was there, bang. And that was that. Yeah, they're back four against Sheffield United on Saturday. Admittedly, against Sheffield United, they might find somewhere to be stronger in a game that they probably think would be more competitive. I think most people are expected to beat Sheffield United in this league. So they had Reguilón left back, Neil Collins centre back, Zanka, I don't think it's the fella from Cool Runnings, but I mean, it could be. I hope it is. Alongside him, and Ruislev at right back. So none of those four are regular starters. I think Collins was a regular starter earlier in the season when they were playing a back three. But they now seem to have transitioned to a back four with three in midfield. And obviously, they've always played three up front whenever we've come up against them, haven't they? The other way to get at them then, down this right-hand side, they've clearly not got a specialised right back. And that's where I'm really excited with Chong in the game, because he goes at right backs and he can cut inside. I really do think Chong's a big player in this game.
Yeah, he will be, and Doughty as well in that regard, because yep, he won't hopefully not be playing as a centre back. But even though he was at the Etihad, he still had that great run to the byline and a shot, didn't he? So, when they've been together, I think, particularly at home of late in the last 2 months, that's been a route that you've fancied they can get some openings from, and it has proved that way. So hopefully that those two can get that partnership back up and running, really, because I don't want to see Doughty as a centre-back.
No, don't think anyone does. I'd be very surprised if he's a centre-back here, just because we want the balance, don't we? Crosses are the way forward in this game. Let's hope he's putting plenty of them in. Townsend on the other side as well can put a fair few in if we can isolate Reguilón. Generally, when I've seen him play, he's better going forward than he is in the modern way, really, better going forward than he is defending. So if we can get Kabore and Townsend going at him, we might get some joy down that side as well. And Norgaard's their defensive midfielder, isn't he? But if we can keep him out of the game, Barkley's going to be another. I remember the goal down there Barkley got the other side of their midfield, didn't he, and rolled Jacob Brown in lovely, and Brown slid it home. Coy, it'd be lovely to have him back, wouldn't it? But not to be. He's definitely not going to be seen for the remainder of this season. That one is an absolute certainty. He's had an operation, and anyone who's had their operations, that's them done and dusted. So yeah, ways that we can get at Brentford. Obviously, we need to be wary of what they can do to us. But as I say, the way we've defended in these last four games, the compactness, the organisation, the shape against good sides, gives me confidence that we can defend well against them. Even against Bournemouth, they had obviously they had a all too recent threat against us, but we dealt with that. And every shot that came at us, and there were lots of shots, and there's going to be lots of shots because that's just the way we play, but they were all long distance, weren't they? And if we can, and by and large, all of Man City's shots at the weekend were long distance. They love to get in between the penalty spot and the 6-yard box, don't they? But they didn't really get in there very often. All of their shots were penalty spot further out. If we can keep anyone in this league to that, it's got to be a worldie to beat Kaminski. And your mate Gvardiol delivered one just on time on Saturday for my correct score chances.
Keep reminding me, damn you, Guardiola.
But if we can keep them to long distance shots, then you really do. You know we've got goals in us.
Yeah, that's a positive, isn't it? That somehow, that, I mean, it's huge credit that what they've had to work with there. Firstly, makeshift and not the amount of time to be able to implement those changes, but they did it and kept City out for 60 minutes. And the fact that, yeah, they were restricted to long-range shots. Unfortunately, their long-range shooters are like Luke Littler, don't they? Their bullseye every time. So, do you like my darts reference?
I do, yeah. I do. It's much more present reference than my one earlier in the podcast, that's for sure. The kids might get that one.
Yeah, there you go. But, yeah, no, if they can keep them to those long-range efforts, I mean, hopefully none, but you've got to expect some shots going in. Hopefully not 37 like Man City had, but, you know, they did that against Bournemouth, and unfortunately they were quite good at shooting from distance as well. But the fact that teams aren't cutting Luton open is a positive. The other side of that is that quite often there's a mistake in Luton, even if it's not an enforced mistake, which is like the first goal at City, which is just ridiculously unlucky to going off Hashi's face. I mean, he must be vying for top goal scorer for his own goals at the moment.
Albeit it should be said that those mistakes in recent times have come against Villa, Tottenham, Arsenal and City. That's four of your top five. We're not playing four of your top five or any of your top five or anywhere any even remotely close to it in these last five. Generally against the sides that you would expect us to defend properly against, we have defended relatively properly against. I mean, it was a worldie from Burnley that beat us. You know, obviously we had the shenanigans against Sheffield United, but Everton have not really posed us any problems. The Forest, we had two off the line, but really and truly, it's just Chris Wood that was the difference in those games. Generally, when you've taken the top sides out of it, and they just put you under mental pressure, don't they? I think that's largely part of it. I think that's why Kabore shanked it against Tottenham, for example. It's just the mental sort of no escaping the pressure sort of situation, the kind of fear really that one mistake can be costly, whereas we've come from the Championship where probably five mistakes aren't costly. We're now switched that right up to the exact opposite, haven't we? Whereas generally the lower half sides, they don't punish you to the same level as the top six sides. I think that's the difference really. I think take Man City and Liverpool out of the equation, I think the rest of them are all much of a muchness, apart from the clinicalness. If you look down the league, I reckon you could sort of look at the league table on clinical chance conversions, and that would probably play out quite similar to how the league table in reality does, you know?
Yeah, that'd be interesting to see. Thanks for that's the first explanation of how Kabore shanked that in the net at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium that I've heard. So, that's the best one. It's the only one that's the best one. So, maybe that was the case, because I've no other idea how that happened. But, I mean, that's the thing. That's kind of where the frustrations are, really, because there's not that many teams that do cut Luton open. The one time that it happened, like, so regularly was that cup game against City, wasn't it? And it was just shell shock, really, because our well and easily they did it. But, you know, since Rob said that they made some mistakes in their press and how they dealt with that, which they seem to have changed, and it worked, didn't it, for 60 minutes up at the Etihad. But just the relentless pressure of it told in the end. But there aren't that many teams that do cut Luton open. It's just that it's frustrating then that those mistakes gift goals when it's so hard to, you know, A, come from behind, or, you know, see out games when you're ahead. So yeah, hopefully those, well, you know, something's got to go for you eventually, hasn't it? And hopefully they've got them all out of the way in the games that we've just seen, because if there's a really crucial goal that goes like at the weekend in off someone's face when it was going miles wide, and that proves to be like really crucial, it's going to be a bit of a sickener. So yeah, hopefully get all those mistakes out of the way.
I think a famous man once said, control the controllables, didn't he? And that's pretty much all we can do over these five games. Speaking of famous men, we caught up with a couple of them after the game against Man City. Obviously, we're recording this as we always do ahead of Rob's pre-match press conference, but Rob gave his brief thoughts on this game after the Man City game, as did Pelly Ruddock and Panzu, and here's what they had to say about it.
And going forward now, hopefully we get some bodies back this week. We're going to really push hard, and we're going to attack a game of football next week. They're all important. They're all cup finals now, and we can win them. Doesn't mean we're going to, but we're going to go and get everything to try and to get maximum points in every single game. But yeah, Brentford's a huge game for both teams. So yeah, we'll look forward to getting back to the Kenny. We know it's going to be an amazing atmosphere, and we've got to make sure that we're right at it from a performance point of view.
All of our home games have been in the game, so we know no one really likes to come to Kenny. It's a tight stadium. The fans are always singing, always praiseful, so that's going to be a real tough game for anyone that's going to come. So we got to put our front foot forward and try to score as much goals as possible. I think goal defence is going to play a part in this. So obviously today was a tough defeat to take, but we've got to bounce back, and I think we can do that next week at it, Kenny.
Yeah, big game. Listen, none of us need telling that. I don't need to tell you. You don't need to tell anyone else. We all know where we are. We all know that these are big games. The first reason why this is a big game, James, is because if Luton win this game, we're out of the bottom three. Now, it might only be that we're out of the bottom three for 24 hours until Everton play Forest on Sunday, but whatever happens, we're out of the bottom three if we win this game, for however long that may be. And actually, I was looking through the fixtures. Sky have done all of their fixtures now until the last day of the season, where everything kicks off at the same time. Luton play ahead of Notts Forest in every single fixture between now and the end of the season. Ooh. So we have the chance in all four of these games to put the pressure on them. Now, we've seen them kind of wilt a little bit under the pressure. I think when we beat Bournemouth, they lost to Tottenham. Not necessarily, I'm not saying that that's an easy game, but they didn't look particularly great. Tottenham could have had an awful... I mean, we watched the second half of that game while we were getting the studio ready for the podcast. Tottenham could have had an awful lot more than what they did. We have the chance to keep on winning and saying to Nottingham Forest, ball's in your court, can you hit it over? And that's all we can do, isn't it? Win our game, and then let's see what happens after that. But whatever happens on Saturday, until at least 3 o'clock on Sunday, we will be out of the bottom three if we win. And there is no bigger incentive or better incentive than that. And then, of course, if Forest do lose or draw, then we'll stay out of the bottom three. And we don't even need to worry about what Everton are doing in this period, because we can challenge whatever they do when they come along in three games' time. Were we to win and were Forest not to win, then all of a sudden we've got a four-game shootout where we are in control of our destiny until we get into the court situation, which we'll deal with way, way, way down the line.
That's the dream scenario, isn't it? To have that in your hands and not be having to relying on other results or goal difference or anything like that. The points deductions is just ridiculous.
We just need to park that, don't we? We need to put that out of our minds for now, because there are enough points to finish above Forest and Everton with a little gap. And if we do that, then it won't them two will be worrying about who gets points back and everything else, not us, because ultimately Everton can only get two back. So they've only had two taken from them. So if we finish 3 points above Everton, it ain't really going to matter what happens in their appeal, because they can, you know, they're not going to say, oh, hey, I have another two on top, I have another two back, because they haven't taken them from them. So we need to park that now and have, like Rob said all along, have that in the mind that we finish above both of these, and then let them worry about it, and we can go off on our holidays and have the time of our lives.
Well, that's the goal, isn't it? That's the ideal scenario, because I don't want to be 2-3 weeks or whatever it's going to be after the bloody final whistle on the final game of the season, thinking that you know, we could be dreaming of the greatest of escapes, and it will be the greatest of escapes. Truly, it would have been anyway, but considering what had been thrown Luton's way along the way, then it will be the greatest of escapes. And I don't want that scenario weeks afterwards to be reversed outside. It's just going to be, it would be heartbreaking for one. It could get messy as well. And that's just not what football needs. They should have, we've done a deep dive episode, and the punishment should be laid out before the crimes are committed, and it shouldn't be anything other than very straightforward. But that's not what the Premier League and football does in this country, unfortunately. So all Luke could do is win enough games to be above those teams. And the fact that you've got Brentford and Everton coming to the Kenny is a huge opportunity to do that.
And the fact that we play before Forest in every game now, apart from the last one when we were in action at the same time, that's massive. I think back, there was a game, I can't remember exactly when it was, but Forest won a game, didn't they? And we happened to win on the same day, but it was after Forest had already won. It must have been lunch. Was it? I think it was going as far back as Boxing Day when they won at Newcastle, and then we went and won at Sheffield United. They pulled kind of clear of us, Forest, and you were thinking there was sort of a 5 or 6 point gap or something, and you were thinking, oh Christ, we have to win at Sheffield United, otherwise they're getting away from us. And we did. But you had that thing, oh my God, we've got to win this game. And we performed and we did win that game, but the roles would be reversed, wouldn't they? If we go and win first, then all the pressure's on them. So the fact that we've got four goes at that, eventually, if we can keep on doing that, they've got a crack at some point, because they're not very good. That's ultimately why they're where they are, because they're not very good. They don't win games of football without the pressure on them. So if you can then win your game and put the pressure on them, that's only going to intense and magnify tenfold. And the fact that Sky have given us the opportunity, whether it's by showing Luton or by showing Forest, to do that on four occasions, we just got to make the most of all four of those occasions now. It's huge. It really does. And they were talking to Paul Merson on this Sunday coverage last weekend with regards to the title race. Like, they were saying ahead of the Arsenal game, how big is it now that they've seen Liverpool slip up and it's officially in their hands? And he was like, yeah, absolutely massive. But at the same time, it does put pressure on, because you've seen the other result, and Forest are going to see our result. And if it's a positive result, it's going to pile more pressure on them. That's what we've got to do. That they've given us the opportunity to do it. Let's go out and do it.
Blimey. You don't get given things by the football authorities very often, do we? So we'll take that. Unbelievable. Yeah, that'd be a huge opportunity. And like all of the opportunities that are in front of us with these five, it's just about taking them.
Yep, I'm sure they'll be bitching and whinging in Nottingham about that. My God, my Twitter timeline can tell you that they can bitch and whinge after that article that was written in the iPaper last week, which I contributed a few quotes to.
So can our YouTube comments. They're always in there bloody moaning. God damn it.
Yep. Hey. Such is life. That is almost it for this episode of the podcast, but as James has alluded to a few times throughout this episode, he was so close to back-to-back correct scores last week, only for a Croatian left back to deny
him. Damn you, Guardiola.
To deny him. It's score prediction time again. So as you were so close, I mean, I should really be going first for the remainder of the season. I keep letting you go first, but as you were so close, how does Luton v Brentford finish?
I think it's going to be really nervy, but Luton will go 2-0 up and Brentford will get one back, and then Luton will hang on 2-1.
If you're as absolutely spot on as you was in the Bournemouth game, you can have the floor to yourself for the review podcast with that. For what it's worth, I think the same score as well, 2-1 Luton. I couldn't give a shit which way the goals go, to be quite honest with you, as long as two go in their net and only one goes in our net, or preferably none. But 2-1 Luton for me as well. Let's have your score predictions. Thankfully, we're back to just weekend football now. Plenty of time for you to get your score predictions into us. And as always, you'll get a shout out if you get the right score when we do our review podcast.
I like your choice there, because even if you get it right, and I do, you don't go above me, so I'm still top of the league.
And you can't have the floor all to yourself in the review podcast either. I'll be equally as smug as what you will be if we get it right. At some point, I'll have to change. You are quite right. I can't keep on doing that. I'll have to go first, and then you'll just copy me, won't you, so that you can stay in front.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I'll have to think that plan through. That's pretty much it for this episode of the podcast. However, if you didn't watch the review episode of the Man City game, and I wouldn't blame you if you didn't, we have launched our giveaway that we promised you earlier on in the season. We have four prizes up for grabs. We'll do this here so that you don't have to go all the way through the Man City podcast. Four prizes up for grabs. We've got two tickets to the end of season presentation evening on Tuesday, 7th of May. Venue 360 is the venue for that. We also have a signed shirt, and we have two lots of £50 club shop vouchers as prizes as well. So four prizes in total. If you want to enter the competition for this giveaway, all you have to do is email me at media@lutontownsupporterstrust.com. We'll include that in the in the video description, so that you know how to spell it and everything else, and answer this simple question. Who did Luton pick up their first Premier League win against this season? Who did Luton pick up their first Premier League win against this season?
Tough one.
Very, very tough. If you can't answer that one, well, you don't deserve the prizes anyway, to be absolutely fair. Email that answer to me. Also email your name and your YouTube handle over to us. You do need to be a subscriber on YouTube for your entry to count. If you haven't already subscribed, hit the subscribe button and then send me your answer with your YouTube handle, and you'll go into the draw if indeed you get it right. And who wouldn't get it right? It's a pretty simple question. And even if you don't know the answer, not very difficult to find out, is it?
Ways and means of finding these things out.
Absolutely, yeah.
It'll be all right. Get involved, though. Decent prizes.
Yep, some brilliant prizes. You have until kickoff for this Brentford game to get your answers to me, and we will give the prize winners, we would announce the prize winners, should I say, in the review podcast to the Brentford game. As I say, two tickets to the presentation evening, a signed shirt, £50 club shop voucher, and another £50 club shop voucher. If you win the tickets to the presentation evening and you're under 18, you do have to be accompanied by an adult, so just bear that in mind. And if you've already purchased your tickets for the presentation evening and you win two tickets, we can get you a refund on the tickets that you've brought. So don't not enter just because you've brought your tickets to the presentation evening already. If you haven't already got your tickets to the presentation evening, they are on sale now. They are going very, very fast. If you're a Trust member, you've already been sent a link on how you can purchase your tickets, and they go on general sale later after the Brentford game, I think it is. I haven't got the exact date to mind, but they're on sale for Trust members right now, and you've had an email on how to purchase your tickets. That is it for this episode of the podcast. Good luck if you enter the giveaway competition. Thanks to James for his thoughts, and who knows, we might even have got a unique combined correct score, and hopefully we have. Thanks.
Still be top of it.
Still four games to go. Thanks for
cutting it fine, though, ain't you?
Listen,
taking it down to the wire.
Listen, mate, the great escapes go right down to the end. And if the town are going to perform a great escape, I'll match them. Not a problem. Needed two wins from two in the championship. They got them. That's the plan I'm playing.
That's how it's going down.
Going. I've just suffered the five goals against. Now I'm coming back with a vengeance, mate. Thanks for watching or listening, however it is that you've consumed this podcast. Thanks, as always, to the Hightown Club for hosting our studio. Thanks to Sean Grant and the Wolfgang for our intro music. And to Ed Smith Creative for all the designs that you see on set. If you have a ticket to Kenilworth Road on Saturday, leave absolutely every part of your voice in that stadium. The boys need absolutely everything that we've got. And between us on the pitch and off the pitch, we can do this. Come on, you Hatters.
Believe it! We are Premier League! Yes!
I love this town. I love this town. I love this town. You know what I love about this town? It's actually you. Everyone in it has got these massive souls.
We're Luton people.